So I didn't warn our guest. We have our other host, but he's in remotely right now. So just imagine a very grumpy looking guy in sunglasses sitting right here. You know.
Got it.
I'm very cheery. I don't know what he's talking.
Nice to meet you.
You are somewhat cheery, but you have resting grump face. We know this.
Okay. I'll own that.
All right. Thank you. All right. So, Tommy, we are joined by Karen Stemwell, Seaplane Pilots Association, but we're going to be talking a little bit about the GUI Duck. So, back in the day when our studios were up on the flight line, the GUI Duck was parked right next to us. So, you know, we are very well acquainted with the aircraft.
Excellent. I remember that.
We actually had to walk around it all the time because it was right there.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're familiar with it.
Oh, yes, yes. So, first of all, I mean, I've been making this pun the whole time we've been talking about this. It made a bit of a splash right. when it was first released. What was the thing about the GUI Duck aircraft that made it something specifically different, special from other amphib type aircraft that was out there at the time?
Well, the owner, designer, builder, Ben Ellison, was fascinated by Grumman products. And mm-hmm. what the world needed was a composite version of that. And, of course, with the opportunity to redesign and update and improve on things, that's the GUI Duck.
Okay. And there are a lot of, like, classic, we'll call it Grumman elements that to the look of it. To me, it's the front windscreen, the windshield.
Yes.
It looks like it's got a kind of, I'll call it all like a boxy square looking yes. window that tells me that this is a Grumman.
Yes.
And yet it's not.
In fact, when we came in, we had a home built sign and they shoot us off to the seaplane area. And so it took me a whole day to get us back to where we belonged.
Gotcha. Now, is this... is this something that was designed to be I won't say necessarily a production product, but all, you know, moving towards that, I guess?
Yes, I would say. Right okay. now we're in the kitting process. And okay. so there are two kits that are being built right now. And if the interest continues at the rate that it is, I see in its future certification.
Gotcha. So you two different kits, is like the speed build type kit or the easy build,
yes.
and then one that's like here's the material and plans, go to town?
Actually, it's all through a builder assist program. It's such a complex airplane with, you know, the wingspan is 48 feet and everybody's garage doesn't do that.
Right.
And so it's being kitted in Eastern Oregon, in Prineville, Oregon.
Okay. That was one of my questions was where that comes from. And seaplanes in that area is not uncommon.
Yeah. In Eastern Oregon, it kind of is uncommon. In Seattle?
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. The wrong side of the...
Yeah,
I get
so,
you.
Well, it was designed, developed, and built by Ben Ellison in Seattle. And obviously with the playground of lakes between Canada and Alaska, it makes a lot of sense up there.
Right. Now, it's six passenger, but what's the intended, I guess, use of that? Are you looking at people mover or, you know, you mentioned Alaska.
We've had they move so much
cargo.
Interest.
Yeah.
One of the design changes they've made for the kit is you have to be able to fit a 50-gallon drum inside. And so the door is going to be a little bit bigger. And your moose and your, you know, maybe even your snow machine.
How you know, I'm looking at this thing sitting in the water. How are you going to make that door bigger without going below the waterline?
Well, actually, they've widened it, and it's mainly the width that was an issue.
Oh, okay.
And then it goes, I think, I haven't actually seen they have some molds done, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen how, I think it goes a bit higher as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Twin engine wing with the, on the wing on top, what is the power plant there?
They're that Lycoming IO-540s.
They are 540s.
Yes. So it's the same engine as a Navajo with the inverted exhaust, not supercharged.
Sure. And you're, I'm just looking at your information that you gave us on a 28 gallons per hour. That seems a little bit light for running two, you know, 540s.
We actually burn and cruise. We operate at 65% horsepower.
Okay.
We burn and cruise 20 an hour.
Wow.
So that's another difference.
I'm trying to think, you know, my aircraft that's got the IO-360, I'm burning like 12.
Yes.
You know,
Well, the owner, and I have a lot of beaver experience, and, you know, beaver's burning 25 an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it sounds meaner.
Yes, that's true. There's some nostalgia there, too, of course.
Oh, yes.
And in fact, he loved his beaver, and there's a lot of design aspects that have been incorporated into the GUI deck.
Such as, if I may ask?
Well, flaperons. The flap system is real similar, and the feel of flying it is real similar. It's very light on the controls.
Okay. The engines on top, the way that they set so close in, and that seems a little bit. If we want to compare to the Grumman's, it looks like the engines are pulled a lot tighter.
Yes.
Okay. Was that a stability issue or?
I'm not positive. I'm not positive.
Gotcha.
We do have counter-rotating props, so we don't have the left-turning tendencies, and I think it's just a function of the engineering behind it.
Gotcha. True amphib, so we can pop this guy down on the land. It is here on field, correct?
Yes, it's over by the Brown Arch.
Oh, it's
so it's right outside. You can see it.
It's back where it was?
Yes. Oh. You can see it out your window here.
Can we get our building put back over there, please?
Yeah, well, look outside and out at the front door. It's right there.
Okay. Well, that's probably why I haven't seen it, is because I'm a little salty. It's like 10 years later, but I'm still salty about this thing. All right, so this was originally put out. We're trying to nail down dates on this. This has to be 10, 12 years ago?
Well, Ben took his drafting table and paper and pen out in 1990.
Oh, okay.
And was just kind of messing with the design, not necessarily intending to even build it at that time.
Right.
In 1998, I believe, they started with a quarter-scale model.
Uh-huh.
And they tested the validity of the quarter-scale model by making a widgeonhole, and there were slippers that you could put on the hole, and it was valid because it did porpoise just like a widgeon would,
right?
And all of the other characteristics were equal to that to the full scale aircraft, and then they took slippers and did different hydrodynamic designs on the bottom to mitigate that. So it's essentially just an improvement on what Grumman had done. Grumman was actually pushed to market a little bit early because of the war.
Yeah.
So they had intended to continue to improve on that hydrodynamic problem.
Gotcha.
But they weren't able to.
Now. Years on, I mean, I've heard you've got over 1,000 hours going on this one here.
1,500.
1,500. Oh, that is over 1,000. Okay.
Yes.
And 1,500 hours in doing what? Because it's 1,500 hours of cross-country does not impress me as much as 1,500 hours of quote, real flying? I don't know.
You
know.
We do all kinds of things. And, of course, we spend a lot of time at... we've been to Oshkosh 3 times, I believe, or maybe 4.
Uh-huh.
And we've been to the Alaska Airmen Show from Seattle at least 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done those kinds of trips. But the owner really loves to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done a lot of auction flights where people will call us and say, will you donate this? And so we probably do maybe 20 or 30 of those a year.
Sure.
And then in addition to that, people are interested. And even here at EAA, the people come up to me and say, I'd love to come to Seattle. And I always say, we'll take you for a ride if you come. And we do a lot of that. And
right.
So it's just demo flights, we call it.
Sure. And you said you're in the kitting process. What's the timeline going forward looking like right now?
Well, the first kit, I believe, started about 3 years ago with a gentleman from the Bay Area. He's a tech guy, really busy guy, and it is a builder assist, so he comes several times, 4 times a year or so, and spends a week or... they have a list of projects for him to do. And with the assist program, they've continued to move that airplane along. Along came a couple guys from Alaska that have partnered. And they are so excited to get it flying. They're almost equal to where the first airplane is, and they just started a year ago.
Wow.
So I think we're really hoping to have both airplanes here next Oshkosh.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that process will continue.
Do you have an anticipated build time?
The predicted hours. You know, I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is not, not an RV kind of situation where you can, you know, pop this guy together and in a few, relatively compared to this, a few hours. This is a rather complex flying machine for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, so I can see some.
They
some
are. There. They're using the molding from the original for now, and they're getting tooling ready, updated tooling, we'll call it.
Right.
And it is somewhat like that. I mean, the hull comes in, I believe, two pieces. Oh. The wing is one, and I'm not sure what the empennage looks like in mm-hmm. terms of pieces, but it is not that dissimilar.
Sure. And again, if we want to take a look at this thing, sitting out of the Brown Arch.
Yes.
Right,
that right area. By the Brown Arch there. If you go to the Brown Arch and take a little bit of a left, you'll see it right away.
Sure.
And we're there all day. It's happy mm-hmm. to have people come by.
Sure.
We're also doing a forum at 11:30 today, where Ross Mann, who is integral and very involved in the design process and redesign process, and then making, when you get the pieces, somebody has to mitigate and make things work.
Right.
And that was Ross, and that's Ross today as well.
Gotcha.
So he'll be at Forum 1 at 11:30 to 12:45.
Got it. All right. Well, hey, we're talking to Karen Stemwell from Seaplane Pilots Association, talking about the GUI duck. One final question on the way out.
Sure.
Okay, I get the duck thing, but did you have to name it after a clam? I mean, come on.
Well, the joke is, you know, all the bird names have been taken. And so Ben's wife said, well, no one would know that a gooey duck isn't a bird unless you live in the Northwest. And it's stuck. So that's where the name comes from.
All right, fair enough. Hey, thank you very much, Karen Stemwell.
Thanks for having me.
About the gooey duck. We've got the Hal Bryan Show coming up here on EA Radio.